Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Well, hello, good morning, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. We're for a great time this morning. I want you to grab your cup of coffee. I want you to sit back and relax, because we're going to talk about some things that are plaguing our city, our country, the nation. We're going to talk about violence, and we have a couple of young ladies on here that have a ministry that says, No More Violence, and they're going to share with you their ministry and encourage you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. We'll just like to make mention here, we're a part of another ministry, Granny's Place Ministry, and you can find us at grannysplaceministry.org. We're on that each and every week, and we have several shows that's associated with that ministry. We have our guest on the line right now. Without any further delay, I would like to introduce you at this time to Patricia Allen, and she's the founder and co-founder of No More Violence, along with April Richardson. They're partners in the ministry, and they're going to share with you some things concerning their ministry and encourage us to be about our Father's business. Good morning, Miss Allen.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. Praise the Lord.
Well, great. God bless you. Is Miss April with you?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Miss April. Welcome to our program.
Thank you.
I hadn't had a chance to talk to you before this show here, but I was very encouraged by what Miss Allen said about you and how you had, along with her, decided to start this great movement, No More Violence. Will you please introduce yourself, both of you ladies, and tell us about this ministry and this program that attempting to reach the hearts and minds of our adults and families at a difficult time.
Yes, my name is April Richardson. I am the CEO of No More Violence. Trisha and I have met a couple of years ago when my son was in the hospital, and we had conversations about our vision, and with that we knew there was something that we had to do, because our kids are dying, you know. We are burying our babies daily, so we knew there was something for us to do, and we started working from there.
Miss Allen?
Trish?
Yeah, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Yes, I have to say that God has just really called so many people to really serve him in so many ways. And unfortunately, my sister, son passed away. And even through her strength, she has continued to save other lives through her son's memory. And we just here to serve the Lord and serve God's people in any way we can to bring about the awareness of violence, and as well as have parents that have lost a child or lost a loved one, that we can be a service and a help to others. And God has really blessed us. We have actually celebrated last year 3 years. This year will be 4 years of serving
Amen.
The community of violence.
Amen. God bless you. I'm very encouraged by what you ladies just shared with me, because, you know, the theme of our program is saying help change a life. And we use the scripture, James 5:20. It said, let them know that them that are sinned, he can change the errors of their ways and saves a soul from death. I love that. I love that, because you ladies are investing your time and your energy in our community. Now tell us about your program. What audience are you attempting to reach, and what are some of the makeups of your program? Either one of you can start off, and we'll just wait back and just let God use you.
Our programs, go ahead, Trish.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, our programs, the organization was started solely from San Diente. In 2011, there was a group fight in an apartment complex, and one of the guys jumped into the car and drove into the crowd, and my son was walking across from one side of the apartment complex over to the next side, not knowing what was going on, and he was struck by the car, but he ended up getting he was drugged by the car, and that's how, you know, he ended up in the hospital. And there were so many kids out there watching the fight, videoing the fight, and nobody decided to call 911 until it was late. And that's how, you know, we started, Trish and I started talking. For one, we have to let them know. We have to bring awareness, because even though my son had nothing to do with the fight, he wasn't even watching the fight. He wasn't even a bystander because he wasn't nowhere near. I mean, he was close, but he wasn't where the fight was. But he was hurt. So we have to bring awareness, first of all. And it wasn't something that was intentional to happen to him. You know, the driver was trying to get away because somebody was trying to attack him as well. So stuff happened. A lot of the kids were out there. And we were reaching out to children because we want them to know, okay, your actions are going to have consequences, but they have to be aware of their surroundings. We need to let them know, like, why it's a concern for me. If you're sitting up and you're watching people fight and you're not concerned for the other person's safety or even yours, because one of the persons had a gun. So if you don't give a child something to do, they're going to find something on their own. So we was wanting to do something and get them out productive, getting them volunteering their time, going to feed the homeless. Trish started the community choir. Some of these kids don't have anything. They're raising themselves, and we're not only because, you know, people are not parenting, but we have to work. So we're trying to be there when the parent or not, but it starts with the parenting as well. And a lot of these households don't have Christ. And that's the missing piece. At first, I thought originally that the organization was solely about the losing of our children. That's how it started. But God said, no, this is for us to bring our word. These people need to know us. You'd be amazed how many kids or even parents don't have a relationship with the Lord. And so that's what we do. We're there doing community events. We prayed so many times to have Trish led walks for the community. It's not even just about violence, but when something's wrong, we stand up when nobody's there to stand up for us. And we're just a Christian-based organization because God comes first, and wherever he leads us is where we go. Anything you want to add to that, Trish?
Yes, I have to add what my sister was saying, that the thing about it is that I'm reminded in the word, God has us to really serve him and just show others that who we serve. And that's serving his people. But I remind also in Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but give his life a ransom. And that's what we are. We are here to serve the Lord and serve his people. And so with the vision that God has given both of us, is that we have work to do. The thing about it is that the awareness of violence has been affected by so many people across this world, and unfortunately it's still going on today, but we choose not to stop. You know, we have another generation coming up, and unfortunately you still see the young people fighting. They're still video and recording this and not realizing there's evidence that they can be held accountable as well. And then even with so many of the violence in Ferguson, we're still seeing the evil that's around us. But Jesus said that I come to heal the land. If you were just humble and seek my face, I will heal the land. He will heal the land, but we have to continue to do our part. And with this organization, No More Violence, we definitely include the word of God in everything that we do. Even in our monthly meetings, we always put God first because we want him to order our steps. when it comes down to doing anything before him. And so we want to make sure that our mission is that for No More Violence of Dallas, Texas, is to raise awareness and taking all precautions in preventing violence in youth and children's lives by covering all targets to build a better community. And with that, God bless us with more parents that really has been a blessing to us that we can serve them as well. And these parents that we have different stories, but they all come together because they all have lost a child to violence. And we're just here. And also my sister was telling about the choir. You know, we have to bring alternatives to our communities. A lot of our young people are so gifted and talented in so many ways. And for us, we have to expose them to see what God has for them. And because that, we created the No More Violence Gospel Youth Community Choir a year ago. And I want to say that I know it was nobody but the Lord, because God had opened the doors where man really actually kind of closed the door and said, hey, I'm not going to allow you to have my choir rehearsal, have your choir rehearsal in my church. But God opened the door of a pastor in Dallas that allowed us to use his church for free and even have given us the keys to the church and just said, hey, you know, just bring your children here and just allow them to come and use their gifts. And so we've been doing it twice a month. And these young people go out in the community to sing for the Lord. And who they are Matthew 5 and 14. And so we want them to know that they are that light that shines in this dark world. They are able to show their peers that there's more to violence than shooting and killing, but there is your spiritual gift. And we're here to help them expose their gifts through ministry and through worship and through the word of God. And so they have really been doing good, and we just pray that a lot of young people will come forth and be a part of the choir. Even, you know, we open a door for these young people to use their spiritual gifts. And so God has blessed us in so many ways to where he allowed us to be able to serve in the community of Paris, Texas. That's another chapter that we have reached out to a family. And through the midst of that, we connected to a pastor in Paris, Texas, where this year will be, and I'm just praising God because I know God is going to bring deliverance and healing, and young people are going to be saved. And I'm just excited. I'm just so, I cannot explain. It's like praise. I just can't hold it because I know and I see the vision what God's getting ready to do during the summertime. And we're getting ready to start a No More Violence Youth Convention in Paris, Texas. Is going to be a two-day event. We're going to have youth choirs. We're going to have mind ministry. We're going to have the word brought forth from a young, powerful man, and that's going to be July the 10th. And then we're going to come back that Saturday and going to have a workshop where we're going to be able to deal with all the issues of violence. And those teachings will be brought from our parents of the victims. Even with them speaking, we know healing is going to take place through them sharing their story to impact another young person's life, will prevent them from committing gun violence, actually suicide and hazing and teen violence, fighting, bullying, all of that is where the impact is going to come. But we know, praise God, that night God is going to do some powerful healing, deliverance, and we're going to come back with a church service that night. And we're just going to go and praise the Lord. We just thank God for our host church, Pastor Shannon McGurr. He's the pastor of Paris New Generation in Paris, Texas. So we just excited what God is getting ready to do in 2015.
Hey, man, God bless you. I'm sitting here making some notes right now, and you seem to have quite a bit on your calendar, but thank you for sharing that with us. Now, we'd just like you to take your time here. Give us some contact number, because someone wants to be a part of what you're doing. Someone is encouraged by what you ladies are sharing with us this morning. So if anyone's out there that say, hey, I'd like to be a part of that, I'm hurting, I'm grieving, I know someone else. Will you give us some numbers so kind of help with the healing?
Yes, they could actually call myself. And again, my name is April Richardson. My number is 214-868-2673. They may also be in touch with Patricia Allen, which is the co-founder Her number is 972-805-7648. And we also have a website, Tricia. You could provide the website.
Yes, our website is www.moonfruit.com.
Amen.
We're actually on and get ready to have another website for our No More Violence Youth Convention as well.
All right. Amen. God bless you.
I did want to mention that we also have 4 Facebook pages because, praise God, God is really expanding us. And so we have, you can reach us on Facebook with No More Violence Organization serving Dallas and Paris, Texas. We have the No More Violence Youth Convention page. We have the Victims with Purpose page. And we also have the No More Violence Gospel Youth Community Choir.
Amen. God bless you. You know, I do a juvenile ministry. Matter of fact, I'm going out to the juvenile center, Henry Wade, here in a couple of hours. As I share the gospel with our young men and women, I'm challenging them to redirect their thoughts and their minds and their talents. Mm-hmm. You know, because the young people are very, as you stated earlier, they're very talented. And they know what they want, but they're not willing to wait and be patient. How can you, as a ministry, as a team, redirect the minds and thoughts of our young people? Because you stated earlier that we don't think about our future. You know, we videoing the crime, the scene of the crime. You know, they don't realize that they videoing this, they fighting, and that's evidence against them and anybody that's associated with them. So how can we, as a society, them that have been born again, help our young men and women know that they have a future?
The first thing is through prayer. We are not praying like we should pray, and we are turning our backs when we see children that do not belong to us or are not a part of our family, and it doesn't matter. We have to get on our knees for everybody's children. Everybody's children, because we are all affected in some kind of way, and you'd be surprised how much small things matter to these kids. They need time. So if we have the time to invest in them, even when they mess up a time or two, encourage them. Don't beat them back down. Encourage them. Uplift them and encourage them and say, you're going to be okay. I have faith in you. When a child who has low self-esteem, don't know, they may not have a concern, a caring parent, they have somebody to take up their time and show them they are loved. They will be somebody. And if you tell that child that long enough, they'll begin to believe it. That prayer itself will work wonders.
Hey, so true. You know, I do a computer training class, and I teach young men the basic operation and the internal workings of a computer. And when we first started this class over at Free Will Baptist Church, and the young men was laughing at it. They said, well, if I want to know how to, if my computer break, I can get somebody to fix it for me. And I said, no, what happened is that you need to know these skills that you can fix it yourself.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't realize that these skills that and that you're learning now will last a lifetime. And after a period of time, the young men, they start looking forward to the computer class. And then we injected some life skill courses in there on how to tie a tie. You know, right today, you know, people don't wear ties like they used to, but it's important to know those basic skills. And the young men, they start laughing about the tie. I brought in a whole sack of ties, and they were all laughing and kidding. But eventually they caught on to it, and they start coming in there practicing on their own about tying the tie.
Mm.
And I said, see, these things right here represent your future. You learn to master these little bitty things. You can do anything that God put to your heart and hands to do. We have young men that we mentor, and they went off to the service, and they was frightful that, hey, I might get killed in the service. I might get injured. I said, hey, look around. You could get killed here in Dallas. You can get killed at a McDonald's. You know, violence is everywhere. But if God be for you, I like what you ladies are saying. If God be for you, who could be against you? And I had a young man that come back, and he went over to the juvenile center to give a testimony to some of the young men and say, hey, I've been all over the world. I've been to Japan. I've been to Alaska. I've been to Florida. He said, I never thought that I'd be able to do these things. I grew up here. I was selling drugs, and I was a gang member. But now God allowed me to see the better part of life, and I was sharing with them that's where the Bible is, because Enoch had a life. In Genesis, Enoch lived 365 years, but he lived 65 years before he knew God. But after his encounter with God, his ladder was greater that his farm. And I said, brothers, mm-hmm. God can turn your life around just like that. So thank you, ladies. Thank you for what you're doing, how you are helping change a life. I love that because guess what? Someone did it for me. Did someone help y'all
all
out?
Right, did it for all of us.
Yeah, that's right. So in turn, the scriptures say that we, you know, we're in Bible land. The scriptures say when you are restored, you to strengthen your brother. So I thank you, ladies, for what you're doing, mm-hmm. for how you're making a difference. Some of the people that we have opportunity to minister to, I'm saying we as born again believers, we may not ever see the end result, but we know without a shadow of doubt
right.
that God is going to change their lives for the betterment. And so now tell us about your no more violence for the parents. Where are you meeting there, and what kind of parents expect as these meetings are occurring?
What we designed a while back is that we're finding that, and I can say that I have witnessed to see this, and I keep hearing this over and over. We have parents that. I have lost a child, so I don't know how the pain will feel, but I do understand the pain when I'm around them, and it makes me really want to. I just like I cannot leave them alone. I can't, you know, my presence is just want to be there so much for them, and that's where my heart is at. But the thing about it is I find that a lot of parents that I have talked to is that they don't have that family support. They don't have, you know, I can say that after the funeral and the phone calls and the hospital visits and after all of this gone and the loved one is gone home to be the Lord and the funeral is over with, their family does not, some of the family does not continue to be there for them. And so we wanted to be able to design a program where we let these parents know that you're not in this all alone by yourself.
Amen.
We are here to do whatever and to keep your baby memory alive, whether it's a phone call or having someone to talk to, or we may have some parents that are still seeking justice, and we may have some parents that have already received justice, but they're still needing that continued support of another believer, another one, someone they can talk to. And so we designed Victims with Purpose because in that in the midst of losing a child, there's a purpose behind this, even through the parent to live their life through their child. And God can bring young people from every direction through the life of that parent. And so we're coming out of Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. And it talks about that every time there's a season and every time there's always something that God is going to do through that parent. And so what we do is that we come on a monthly basis. And the parents that are within our organization, we have a total of 9 of them, but we meet in each one of them homes once a month, and we deal with different topics with what we're dealing with through this world today with not receiving justice. We come in a spiritual aspect of praying for each other, finding out, you know, what is it that, you know, you need prayer for, and then we deal with the thing where yearly, these parents have anniversaries for their babies, and we want to be there to support them and help them, whether it's buying something that they need to put that program together. And actually, we do have one today. We have another parent that lost her son last year, and she's doing a celebration in memory of him. So that's we're there for her to help her as well. And we also have other parents that will be celebrating their baby in a different way, to keep their lives, the memory, their lives in our hearts, in the community, let them know that we still love them. We still want to see another child to live a better life than committing violence through them. And so we come together in this type of atmosphere in a safe environment to where we won't have to be inside of a building, but we're in a atmosphere of a home setting. Well, we just sit down and we pray and we deal with if a parent that has to go to the court, we let them know when they got a court, or if a parent needs prayer or whatever it is that we that's what we're there. We come in that aspect. And we also have a spiritual leader that comes in and share words of encouragement, as well as we have a minister, a pastoral care minister comes in and he shares the grieving process, and he gives them handouts of the process of grieving and different type of descriptions of grieving process.
Yes,
and course, we eat and we fellowship, and we just want to be able to connect these parents, because I find out that some of the parents that have already been through the court system and they walk in there, they don't know sometimes what to expect when they go in there. We don't want them to be taken advantage of. And so through that, I have seen that parents that have already been through the court system have already been exposed to different lawyers, and you'll find that all of them is not telling you what you need to know. But when we find someone that has already been through the process that can help another parent and what papers need to get and what documents, I find that it really helps them because they just didn't know. And it's good that we can connect them with another parent. And that's what I have seen through us coming through these monthly meetings. And through that, through the Victims of Purpose, not because they know their purpose, through this convention is where they have another opportunity to share the story of their baby. And this is another speaking engagement that we allow them to come in and, you know, share the story of their child. So, you know, we're glad that we offer this, another program for this. It's a process. We know that we want to make it available to parents. We know that grieving is different from everyone. So we just want them to know that it's available when they're ready. We don't want, ever want to push anyone to make them a combo. When they are ready to be a part of that home setting, it's available to the community.
Amen. God bless you. Hey, this has been a great interview. You know what? We just don't have enough time for this. We'd like for you ladies to come back at a later date to kind of get us up to date on what's going on in this ministry here, No More Violence. And we're speaking with the founder and co-founder, Miss Allen and Mrs. Richardson, that's putting forth all their energies and efforts in helping change the lives of young men and the families that are being stricken with this this problem that plagued our society. Ladies, as we get ready to get out of here, I'm getting ready to go to the juvenile department in a couple of hours. What words of encouragement would you give a young person when they say, when they encountering the police and just things are difficult? Because our young people don't have no patience. I try to share with them to have patience in things. You know, and this show is archived, so you can go back and listen to it and add it to some of your Facebook pages. But as few words as possible, give us a closing statement, and then we're looking forward to having you to come on again. Ms. Richardson.
I would just say self-control, you know. Self-control, you have to be in control of self. You have to respect authority figures. Once you learn that and master that, I think it limits the confrontations that we can have. But also, get to know God. Start reading your Bible. You know, speak to Him when you can't speak to no one else, and He will always guide you. He will never lead you astray. So just find yourself when you can't find yourself no other way. Turn to Him because He's waiting, and He will direct you, and you will never go. You will never fail if you just follow His footsteps.
Amen. Miss Allen.
Yes, I just want to close out and say that we know that, and John talked about the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And young people have to know that Satan is around and he is busy. But we do have the victory. And through the midst of what all has been just taking place in society when it comes down to the violence and how to even respond to police officers, we have to let our young people know that they have to make better choices, understand that even when things may not seem right or they feel that they're mistreated or are not being heard or not understanding why the racism and the profiling and whatever else there is about these police officers they have been exposed to on TV and radio, that to remember that just to stay calm and just do what's being said. For God knows and He sees everything. He will bring justice on some kind of way of what people that do that's not right. And so we just have to be there for them and let them know we love them, we care for them. And as well as I go back to this convention, the theme is new beginnings, great things about to happen. They have to know that great things about to happen in their life when they are living for the Lord.
Amen. Great. God bless you. These are two great statements from these young ladies. We have been speaking to the founder and co-founder of No More Violence, Miss Allen and Miss Richardson, and they are sharing with us some things that God had laid on their hearts, and they're encouraging us to be a part of our Father's business. They gave you some contact numbers. You can go back and re-listen to this program again and get those numbers again. And we'd like for you to see what you could do in this here ministry. You know, there's so much hurt and pain going around in society, but we don't have to go through those things alone. They put together a group that's suffering the same conflicts as everyone else, but yet they're more than conquerors. Ladies, thank you for being a guest on the program this morning. We're looking forward for you coming back and kind of keeping us up to date on what's going on here, because we realize that this violence is running rampant, and it's just from all over the country, but yet we have men and women that's standing. That's standing on the word of God, that's making a difference, helping, changing lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ladies, as we get ready to get out of here, we're gonna have a little word. We're gonna have a word of prayer, then we'll dismiss you. And looking forward to you coming back again. Amen.
Thank you,
sir. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of you. Dear Lord, we thank you for these ladies, dear Lord. We thank you for what you have put to their hands to do, dear Lord. How they stood on your word and your word alone. How they are making a difference in the kingdom for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, let what they do change the lives and the futures of young people and reconnect families, dear Lord. We thank you. Get them the resources they need. Let them not grow weary in well-doing. Bless them, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Yes. God bless you, ladies, and we'll talk again.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
what
you,
a great interview that we had there. Amen. No more violence with Miss Allen and Miss Richardson. Amen. And we're for a great time this morning here. We also have another guest that's going to come on, and he's going to encourage us. But you're listening to Free on the Inside. Our call-in number is 310-982-4126. You, too, can call in, listen to the program, or just voice your opinion regarding some things that we're talking about. We just had a great interview. Now we're going to follow up on that. We're all over the board today here, so thank you for calling in. We have some text messages that we're going to share with you in just a second regarding some questions that our guests may present. So, again, just kick back and relax, grab a cup of coffee, and listen to what God people are doing in the midst of his people. Amen. Good morning, David. You're on the net.
Good morning, Brother Joe. How are you today?
I'm doing great. David, thank you once again. Brother, you're no stranger to our show, but you have so much information. We just got to add a little bit at a time, man, until we ain't going to never get it all, but we're going to do the best we can.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wait a minute, before we go any further, I'd just like you to reintroduce yourself for anyone that had never heard you before and tell us about what God had put to your hands to do in this season.
Good morning. My name is Reverend David Vaughn. I'm an associate minister of the Mount Sinai Missionary Baptist Church of Port Arthur, Texas. The Lord has allowed me to participate in his kingdom building process by doing re-entry ministry. My father and I and a team of other ministers, we ministered at the Richard P. LeBlanc unit there in Beaumont, Texas on Sunday mornings. We're there first Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday, and on second Sundays, we're actually in the GIS unit. For those of you all that don't know me, we have started a program called Our God is Alive. It was introduced to us by a good friend out of Dallas. His name is Eric Pinnick and Mike Clark. And since they've kind of come and inspired us, we kind of grabbed the reins and just took off running. Last year, Joe, so you remember, we started talking about financial literacy and talking about parenting, and we were trying to just help guys get halfway houses, and that was okay. We did all right, and even on third Sundays, we would invite guests in to come in and share their belief on what God was doing for them, and things were going well. We get around to this to last year, or just to Christmas, and now we're starting to change the focus of Our God is Alive to understand that this reentry is a little bit more serious than being able to teach class on Sunday and Tuesday. So I'm a little excited, but I feel a lot like Moses. And this morning I have a young man with me who went through our program. His name is Wesley Jenkins. And I'll let him come on, and he'll introduce himself, and then I'll be able to answer any questions that you have for me.
Hey, man.
My name is Wesley Jenkins. I just recently was released September the 9th. Of 2014, after serving 26 years, 11 months, and 28 days. So I basically almost served 27 years 2 days short of 27 years. Since my release, I have been given the privilege of working with John Vaughn and David Vaughn, fostering Our God is Alive and just helping guys reintegrate into society in the Houston general area, greater Metroplex for Houston, Galveston. One thing that is primarily my focus is that people have forgotten about guys in prison. And people don't believe that the transformation can actually happen to men in prison. So you could best say that I'm the poster child for Our God is Alive and what God is doing and what he has done to help men live free behind bars. So I'm blessed to be here this morning, and I thank you for allowing me to come on your program and share the insight that God has given me about living free behind bars.
Hey, man, God bless you. God bless you. And put David back on. I'm going to come back to you, that young man, and we're going to ask you some questions regarding your experience. Wait a minute. Before we even go any further, share with us your experience that's been involved in this program, because I need to know it works.
Well, first and foremost, we learned that we have to surrender ourselves to what God has called us to be, even in the midst of our mess and in our situations. God saved me about 5 years ago, but I didn't surrender until about 3 years ago. And that's when I gave everything that I had to the ministry. I gave everything that I was away. I changed my life. I changed my associates. And I changed my focus. So this program is needed for people to understand that it ain't just jailhouse religion. It ain't just a cosmetic makeover. It's a life change. It starts on the inside. There are not enough programs. You ain't got enough dollars. We ain't got enough hours to change a man's life. But it starts with him wanting to change, and it starts with him surrendering himself totally wrecked in the midst of where he is. So for me, that was in prison, and that was me getting away from the gang lifestyle. That was me getting away from gambling and pornography and all the other things that go with being in prison and just saying, God, I need you to do what you said you could do. You said you would come in and sup with me if I opened the door. So I opened the door as wide as I could, and I put a stopper on it, keep it open. And I asked him to change my life, and he did that. And he was so faithful that not only did he change it while I was locked up, but when I got locked up, he manifested himself in a miracle by restoring my mom's sight 9 days after I was out of prison. So he showed himself to be faithful.
Hey, man, that's a powerful testimony. And, you know, as you were sharing that there, I do a jail and prison ministry also here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I go to the Hutchinson State Unit here in Hutchinson, Texas. And we do a Bible study at this time called the Heroes of Faith. And we talk about those men that was challenged by the Word of God, but they stood on the Word of God. And I thought about you because Jacob, before his name was changed to Jacob, to Israel, you know, God told him about that name change, but he said it took a while before he realized that. And I thought about you. You said, hey, I was saved some time ago, but it took a while for me to walk in that blessing. And a lot of young men, they don't realize and they can't receive it at that time. Sometimes that God have already restored them, but they have to be able to walk in that fullness. It's a process, of course, because society and ourselves won't let us forget about the things that we done. But God have already forgiven you. And I remember Jacob, God said, hey, why you keep answering by that name? Why we keep answering by those old mindsets and those old habits? Let's go make some money. Let's go hustle. No, that's not me anymore. My name has been changed. I'm a saint, not a sinner. So I like what you were saying there. You know, now as you've been restored. Go ahead, sir.
Well, the name change didn't come until Jacob was broken.
Yeah.
The Bible says that the angel touched his hip and he broke him down, and that's what God has to do with us, because we have these false gods, these false idols that we've built up in our lives, and I was one of those people. I ascended to the highest heights you could in the Crip organization, so I was my affirmation was my title, and until God broke me down and said, hey, look, you can only elevate when I elevate you, so I have to break you. And then the second thing to that is this: after God changed his name, he still probably had that limp because he needed the limp for him to remember at all times that I am who I am because of God.
No, that is so true. And that's why the scripture tells us, once we are restored, we just strengthen our brother. Because you got to remember, that was you. That was you that was messed up. That was you slanging, banging, stealing, robbing, stealing. And now you're going to someone else. So you got to have that patience and be steadfast and unmovable. Brother, I like what God is doing in your life. I like how you are committed to the Word of God. You know, being involved in a program is a challenge because sometimes we say we could do it on our own. I don't need this here. But yet, being committed and being faithful is what God is calling for today. And you've been a perfect example. And guess what? Somebody's seeing how you handle the Word of God. Someone's seeing how you navigate through life doing the Word of God. Someone's seeing how you are encouraging other men to be faithful in the Lord. And as David and Pastor Vaughn is pulling things together, you see the hand of God involved in these programs, and you want to be a part of this here. And God honors that and respect that. And guess what? God would open up doors that can't be imagined at this time here. I have seen it firsthand. I've experienced it in my own personal life. And that's why we're putting together a program like this to let people know that our God is alive, that we are free on the inside to do the thing that God put our hands to do. Now, this question is directed to David. David, as these friends are being restored, you said that you're developing a place for them to stay, or have you already have a place to stay? Or give us some more information on that.
Let me tell you how the Lord has been working. This last few months, we've had to go back to the drawing board because we originally jumped in and we bit the apple like everybody else and said, we want to start providing places to stay. But, Joel, here's what we discovered. Getting houses is not the issue. The issue is providing transportation and providing employment for these young men and women that are coming home. So right now, we're back at the table and we are seeking partners. We're seeking businesses that will give our guys and girls chances to be employed, businesses
Amen.
That will work with us to help build the kingdom of God, and businesses who have owners that are saying, you know, I want to be a part of this kingdom building process. So right now we're putting together a string what I call business partners, industry partners, so that we can get these guys and ladies right into some places where they can be employed. And then because we realize that once they get out, they have roughly about 6 months worth of some form of financial help. The problem is what happens after that 6 months, during that 6 months, they're trying to get reacclimated. I understand that in the TDCJ system, they get 3 meals a day. They're told when to go in and when to rack up and when to wake up. And so now in this first 6 months, they're just trying to get acclimated to the world, and you're trying to put them back on the track of life as if they've never missed a beat. And in truth, they've missed so much of their life, and now we're trying to get them to do something that they've never done. And as a result, we need to make sure this thing is put together right, because we can't go back once we get started. Kind of like now, we've been saying our God is alive now for almost 2 years, and he just started showing me that we have to partner with the Wyndham School District that's inside. We have to partner with the chaplains that are on the inside, and we have to partner with reentry on the inside. You know, we have to get out of this mindset that prison ministry is a hobby, because in truth, when we get done preaching and teaching these guys, we're sending them back home. We don't know what we're sending them back home to. So we're praying by the grace of God to be able to get some business partners and to be able to find out what these guys and girls know on the inside, and then be able to prepare them to be able to sustain themselves when they get on the outside. So it's been an interesting process. I kind of liken it to the children of Israel leaving Egypt. You know, when the Lord said, Moses, we're leaving, you know, that next day they were gone. They didn't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, after that time, you know, you can't go back to Egypt and pick up anything.
You know, David, you're so right there, because a lot of times we'll spend a lot of time planning and trying to position ourselves, but God just wants you to go. I make the provision. I know you got to have some planning in it, but you said, I like that when you said they got up and go and went. Because I go to meetings and I hear people making plans about the same day and all the time. I said, man, why don't we just go and do it? You know, things are just going to change otherwise. But, you know, there's a mindset. So thank you for sharing that, brother. I thought it was pretty timely for you to put that call. Someone need to hear that, man. Someone is making plans right today, and they need to put those plans into motion and give it to God. Say, God, here it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, this, you know, God always invites us to do things that are just too big for us. In fact, Weston and I are participating in the men's conference. In fact, just we were there last night. We're going to be there today, and we're going to do something in the morning. But one of the things that we're preaching from, our lessons are coming from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, where Jesus asked Peter to push out into the deep. And one of the things that we're expressing is the Lord always sends you to an area in which you are in over your head.
Tell me about it, because I'm going to some ministry down here that I feel like I'm in over here, but I always think about I'm not by myself. He said, I will never leave nor forsake you. And we have to take that
to
heart. So go ahead, brother. You're encouraging me.
So what we talked about, in fact, even though he pushes you out into the water when he's where you're in over your head, the truth of the matter is he's still sitting in the boat with you. So you have to be careful about how you respond to him. But as one of the guys pointed out to me last night, you have to be obedient. Last night we gave them attitude towards the Almighty. You have to be careful how you talk to Jesus and remember that you have talked to him. In this particular story, Jesus is walking by the Lake of Gennesaret. He sees two ships. He gets into one of the ships. He sees the fishermen working their nets. He gets into one of the boats. He pushes out a little bit from the bank, begins to teach the multitude. While teaching, when the multitude leaves, he begins to talk to Peter, says, hey, Peter, push out a little bit into the deep and drop your nets down for a draw. And good morning. And Peter says, Master, we toiled all night. Nevertheless, at your word, we're going to drop the net. And Peter dropped the net over the side. So many fish were there that the net began to break. And then Peter summons his friends to come and help him get the fish. They collect so much fish that both ships begin to sink. They ride back to the bank. And while riding back to the bank, Peter has this moment where he says, Lord, I'm a sinful man, depart from me. And then Jesus says to Peter, Peter, it's okay. From now on, you're going to be, instead of being a fisherman, you're going to be a fisher of men. And all that were on the boat worshiped Jesus. Now, that's the whole story. But what we had to break it down, Joel, is men sometimes get discouraged and frustrated. And we're not very careful about our attitude towards the Almighty. And I just simply suggested that Peter had a frustrating night. And if you ever are doing what you know to do and you're not getting positive results from it, sometimes you just get frustrated. And while he was on that morning, while he was mending his nets, Jesus comes and says, you know, hey, let's go back out there and go fishing. And Peter's obedient. He gets in the boat. They go out. But when Jesus tells Peter to drop the nets, in my mind, I think he only dropped one net. I think he was kind of angry about it. And I think that phrase that's recorded in the Bible is full of sarcasm. Master, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to drop the net. It was as if he had prayed to Jesus the night before, and then all of a sudden when Jesus shows up, he says, whatever, Jesus. You know how your kids do you, whatever.
Yeah.
And so he has this attitude towards Jesus as he drops this single net into the water. And because Jesus is the Almighty, he sends so many fish that it just starts to break his net. And so all of a sudden now the question is, how do you talk to God after you have a discouraging night? So you got to, you know, my guy's coming home from prison, my girl's coming home, coming out of prison. You need to check how you're talking to God. You better remember that you pray when you have nothing, you were praying. And though it might be bad and you're doing all you know to do, just know that when he instructs you, you need to do that with joy and with some reverence. Because when Peter's net, when the net began to break, Peter couldn't haul in so many fish. And had he dropped more nets as the Lord had instructed him, he would have had the whole blessing. But it got so bad that he had to call his friends. And because of his attitude, he had to watch some of his fish float away on somebody else's boat.
My Lord, you know what? I never thought about that in that way, and that is so true. That is so true. You know, as we go through life, sometimes we get frustrated, as you stated with God, but God never gets frustrated with us. I was sharing with the brother that our Bible study called Heroes of Faith, and in Hebrew, how Gideon, you know, Gideon kept challenging God, but God will start with him. You know, the angel of God. You know, he said, "Hey, Gideon, I'm going to do some great things through you." And then, you know, and they said that Gideon went off to get a sacrifice, and the angel waited on God. Oh, man, that is so true, man. How often is God waiting on us to get ourselves together? He's right there with us, but he's a patient God. He's a loving God. And even when we don't do things quite right, God is still working with us. Gideon said, "Okay, turn the fleece wet." Then he said, "Okay, turn it dry." And God was faithful, man. That's crazy, man. But we have to realize that God ain't going to give up on us, so we should never give up on him. Thank you, Pastor Vaughn, for sharing that with us. We have a little mini Bible study right here.
You're absolutely right. But, you know, this is all about the Word of God. It's not about us. It's not about our talents or our gifts. It's about being obedient to the Almighty and just being willing and to be a willing vessel. And so we're excited about this reentry process, but we just realized that it is so huge. Joe, I didn't realize how big it was until the other day when I was thinking about it. TBCJ has an office in Austin, as well as they have offices in Huntsville. And these people are seriously concerned about housing men and women who have blemishes on their records or have made a mistake. And because they're so serious about housing, when I say serious, across the state of Texas, there's approximately 110 prisons. And each one of those prisons is probably housing anywhere between 500 and 3,000 inmates at one time.
Yes, they are.
Now, those guys and girls are going to be coming home at some point. They're going to need opportunities. They're going to need a church home to love them. They're going to need a family to try to understand them. And the problem is, if we're not serious about this reentry, our churches are not serious about how it is we begin to minister to these people or to our people, we're going to be the cause of them going back. Okay, Wesley is saying that he wants to share something else with us, so I'm going to be quiet, and if you don't mind, I'll just let him talk, then I'll come back in.
Well, bring him on in. Thank you, Brother Wesley. We've given you a chance to get comfortable with the program, so I see you at that point. So go ahead and give us the information God had laid on your heart.
I wanted to share this one thing. I watched a movie last night called Lone Survivor, and it was a story about a Navy SEAL operative who lost his entire team, and he was rescued at the very last moment as the enemy was about to overrun the village where he had taken refuge at. And after I finished watching the movie, I went outside and I was sharing with a couple of the guys that are here at the conference that I saw myself in that movie. I saw myself in the pain that this man had suffered and all the wounds that he had taken. And here's what I got from that. God said this: I come that you might have a hope and a future. Don't lose hope in the midst of your trials, your tribulations, your pains, because God said that in the end, we win. And we lose focus on the fact that Christ has already won the victory for us at Calvary when he sacrificed himself. And that was one of the things that kept me going for 27 years in prison. In the end, I know I am a victor. I cannot give up hope. I will not give in and say the enemy is won, because I know God has already rigged the fight. I win. And when I saw what he did at the end of this movie, after the troops had come to get him and they were carrying him to the helicopter, he stopped to acknowledge his helpers that helped save him from the enemy. He acknowledged the Father and the Son and said, "Thank you. I want to take y'all with me." He had told the guys, "These got to go with me." And they said, "He can't go." But he acknowledged them and said, "Thank you." How many times have we prayed and God answered our prayers and we didn't stop to acknowledge him and say thank you?
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. God bless you, though, brother. You know what? I am encouraged by what I'm hearing today. We pray that our listening audience has been encouraged. You're listening to Free on the Inside. We are speaking with Pastor Vaughn, and He have a reentry program, and the young man, I'm afraid I didn't catch his name that's on here. What's your name again?
Wesley Jenkins.
Yeah, Brother Wesley Jenkins. And Wesley was sharing with us some things that he have experienced and things that, he's holding on to as he goes through this reentry program here. And as Brother Wesley is being encouraged through the Word of God, in turn, he's encouraging someone else just by being faithful. We have heard many, many things this morning containing the Word of God. We pray that you're being blessed by what you heard. And for more information regarding this ministry, Our God is Alive, we'd just like to give you some contact numbers and to give you out a phone number if you want to know more information. Pastor Vaughn, can you help me out on this? You got some numbers you want to share with us?
I don't have any numbers at this time because of my new job. I can't allow people to call me personally, and so if you would have them call you directly. Well, hold on a second. I'm getting a number. I'm getting something coming in. Okay, let me quit. The number that can be used, you can reach us at 832-867-4825. Let me do that again. 832.
Okay.
867-4825.
Amen. God bless you.
And so we're working again, putting this together, but we're looking for specifically industry partners that will give our guys and girls a chance to do something special for God. Yeah. So we'll be waiting to hear the calls. If you're out there and you need help and you're in a specific area and things are going rough, just give us a call. We can start trying to put some pieces together. Joel, in addition to getting them housing, we want to make sure that their conversation with DARS, MHMR, Texas Workforce Commission, and VA is correct so that when they go down there, they can get the benefits. Anybody who's suffering from a substance abuse or had a substance abuse crime, we can be able to help them immediately, because the state recognizes that as a special needs type of issue. And you just got to know how to walk the program correctly so these guys and girls can get help. So, again, our phone number is 832-867-4825.
Amen. And, Dave, before I let you go, you know, we had a guest on earlier that was part of a ministry saying no more violence. What tools are you giving our young men after they've been incarcerated, now they've been released, as they encounter difficulties and situations in their life, and they know that they can manage them themselves? What words of encouragement are you giving them to be strong in the Lord?
As young men, or as we all begin to face violence or face different issues or trying situations, I just try to tell people to remain strong in their faith. Wesley reminded me of something that I said a while back, and that's simply, you need to guard your testimony. Whatever it is you've been saying you were in prison, continue to be that when you get home. If you've been using the name of God and using holy words when you were in prison in your letters, make sure you're still using those same words when you get home. If you say that you don't drink anymore, you can't pick up drinks and then ask people to still think that you're still doing okay and you haven't changed any. So I tell people most of the time, guard your testimony, because nobody can speak for you but you. And your actions speak louder than words. So even if you're saying I'm healed and you're doing something different, he's going to see that, and so is everybody else. And they're going to lose faith in you. And you're going to be hurt.
Hey,
so
hey, man.
Guard your testimony.
Brother Wesley, before we get out of here, what words of encouragement can you give a man that's been reestablished out in the community with his family and to keep him strong in the Lord?
The biggest thing is, don't lose focus and don't lose hope when you become frustrated, because the system is designed to frustrate you so it can recapture you. One of the things that I experienced was there were a bunch of doors slammed in my face when I got out. We have misconceptions in prisons that if we go to college and we get vocational training, that their doors are going to be wide open for us, and that's not so. If you have a felony conviction, the odds are against you, and those doors are going to be closed in your face. You can't get frustrated. You have to get deeper in the Word and call on God, because he will open a window when the door closes. So just keep hope, keep hope alive, stay faithful to God, and don't lose hope when the door is closed in your face.
Amen. God bless you. What a great interview that we had, so, with Pastor Bunn and Brother Wesley with our God is Alive reentry program. And we want to thank these gentlemen for coming on. We want to thank them for sharing. And as always, this show is archived. You can go back and listen to it and encourage yourself. Pastor Vaughn, you know you're always welcome to be a guest on the show. We know we're going to call you up and just you keep encouraging us to be strong in the Lord.
Hey, Joe, yeah, you're right, sir. Thank you so much for this platform. And, Joe, thank you for all the hard work that you do. And I just pray that God continues to open doors and as well strengthen you, your finances, and your family as it is you've been obedient to answer this call. Thank you for your faithfulness, sir.
All right, God bless you. If we get ready to get out here, we won't leave this setting without having a word of prayer. Grace and Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. The Lord, we thank you for what we have heard today containing your word. We thank you for how you're restoring men. Ready where we speak, the Lord, we thank you for the ministry, dear Lord, that's working so diligently in the prison system, dear Lord, to reconnect men with society, with their family, and most of all with God. We pray, dear Lord, that the hearts and minds be changed and that they too can go out before all knowing God and lift up holy hands and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And they be faithful at the calling. We thank you for Brother Wesley, dear Lord, how you have continually to show yourself mighty in his life. We thank you for Pastor Vaughn, as that ministry, dear Lord, is taking root, dear Lord. And we pray that you continually to get in the resources, get in the patience and the strength, dear Lord, to do the task at hand. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you,
Amen.
Brother. We pray that you have a blessed day in the Lord, and we'll be talking to you later. Amen.
Thank you, man.
Amen. You've been listening to Free on the Inside Internet program to inform you, encourage you, and challenge you to be all you can be. We pray that you have been blessed by what you heard. We got some contact numbers, and you too can go back and listen to this program and give our guests a call and see what's going on there in that portion of the ministry. Amen. So, God bless you. So are we ready to get out of here? We pray that you're being blessed. Go out and do something. Make a difference in the lives of someone. Help change a life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right now, are you ready? Are you ready? You know, we was challenged today to not just make plans, but just put them into motion here. So you have to take up that challenge. Guess what? If God be for you, he'll begin against you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Until next week, for another great show, Free on the Inside. Your host, Mr. Joel Lewis. God bless you. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Give me a government order. Vaccine makes me sickly. This world is not what it seems. Past Officer Ricky. All the gays in the industry with more secrets than Vicky. A menage of sin. They all chasing Nicky. Straight to the devil's door. Cause hell isn't picky. Let's say the game is fair. Definitely hard. You like that movie with Whitney minus the bodyguard. So you had no protection. Death is your reflection. The love of money's like a poisonous lethal injection. People are selling their souls to the highest bidder. Giving their way to mortals. And they never consider the repercussions of living life as an atheist. Loving God should be number one on your bucket list. Jesus coming back like a thief in the night. At us, sitting back and laughing, cause we're following everything the world could imagine. How can we be holy? We're following idols. We're lost in the details of corruptible titles. They want to turn the good news into a bad report. Good versus evil, a religious sport. We got pictures of a white Jesus that's on the wall, praying to Mary like she the one that started it all. Having sympathy for an angel who started the fall, getting mad at God, thinking he didn't answer the call. Lies need you, homie, they treat us like a crutch. The truth is all required, a lie will never hush. The things we do nowadays will make the devil blush. Death is coming for you, and it's in a rush. Jesus coming back like a thief in the night.